from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Obamacare. The word has been part of our political lexicon for years. Mostly, it's been the subject of intense argument, whether it's in the courts or in Congress. But this week, we learned a lot more about what the word will mean in a less lofty but important arena, the California household. That's because we now know which insurance companies will participate in the state's new health care exchange, and we know what those policies will cover and roughly what they'll cost. We'll take up what the reality of Obamacare means after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. We've talked and argued about the politics and legalities of healthcare reform for so long, it's sometimes hard to remember that the law has real live consequence to it, and that the biggest of those consequences will roll out in just a few months' time. In California, the realities of Obamacare, otherwise known as the Affordable Care Act, became much more clear this week as the agency responsible for setting up the new healthcare exchange published what policies will be available, what they'll cover, and roughly what they'll cost. The goal, of course, is to get more people insured in our state. Whether that will actually happen will in no small measure depend on how people respond to the details that were released this week. And we're going to dig into those details now. Joining us to do that, Lisa Alifera. She's health editor for KQED News. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Dave.
Happy to have you join us. Peter Lee joins us as well, executive director of Covered California. That is the new marketplace that will be offering health care to Californians under the Affordable Care Act. Peter Lee, good morning as well.
Great to be with you, Dave.
Thank you for joining us. Jamie Court is here, too. He's president of Consumer Watchdog in Los Angeles and author of an upcoming ballot initiative which would regulate further health insurance rates. Jamie Court, good morning.
Good morning.
And Glenn Melnick joins us, too. He's professor and director of the Center for Health Financing Policy and Management at the Price School of Public Policy at the University of Southern California. Glenn Melnick, thanks for being with us as well.
My pleasure.
So, Lisa, let's begin by telling us what was significant about what we learned yesterday. This has been so debated for so long. It's almost hard to believe that there's actual tangible stuff that will matter.
That's certainly true. What everyone was waiting for with bated breath was how much would the health insurance cost? There was tremendous concern that there would be what's called rate shock, and that has not come to pass in California. I think it's safe to say there was a sigh of relief from advocates up and down the state when the plans were released. So there's 13 plans that were announced, and the average statewide premium is expected to be $321 a month. And that will vary somewhat by age and by region, but it's the big players in California, Anthem Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Kaiser, as well as regional plans, certain specific plans here in the Bay Area, the Contra Costa Health Plan, the Alameda Alliance for Health are included.
And is the overall goal, so that we're clear about what these 13 plans represent, are basically these are the possibilities for people who are both currently uninsured, but also for people who want to shop around?
Anyone who's buying insurance for themselves or their family can shop on the Covered California marketplace. And about half the people who are expected to who are eligible to shop could receive subsidies based on income to help defray the cost of health insurance.
And Glenn Melnick at USC, what to you was the headline that came out of yesterday's news?
Well, certainly I think that, you know, the prices, the competitive prices are important, but I think I want to congratulate Peter and his team for being able to recruit so many plans to the marketplace. You know, this is basically a new market, and so that's a vote of confidence by these companies that this market is going to be real, and it's worth all the regulatory time and cost they had to go through to put their products in place and pass all the regulatory hurdles. So consumers have a lot of choice, and that was a big question going into this. How much choice would they have?
And explain that a bit more to us, what the process was to entice, and we'll hear from Peter Lee, of course, in just a moment, but I'm curious from your point of view about why that's such a big deal, about making sure that there were an adequate number of companies who were willing to engage in this process.
Well, you know, from an economic perspective, you know, more choice generally means more satisfied consumers, because then you have more competitors who are competing on price, quality, service, a whole range of factors. And so by attracting more competitors, that generates a natural process and dynamic to continue to serve members. If you only had one or two plans show up, they are then in a better position to dictate the terms mm-hmm. of what happens in that market.
And Jamie Court, before we get to Peter Lee, I want you to be the one who maybe sort of raises an eyebrow. Most people are saying this is such good news. I'm curious about whether or not there was anything that came out yesterday that makes you at all concerned about where this may be headed.
Well, I mean, I've got to congratulate the exchange on getting something going, and it's important that people don't have who in the current market can't get policies because they have pre-existing conditions, and people who can't get subsidies, they have a place to go, and they'll have a place to go. And I think for people who get subsidies, it's a good deal. We just don't know, because these premiums were filed last night. The insurance commissioner is reviewing them now. The Department of Managed Healthcare is reviewing them now. We have to look at the details. Here's the things that could be troubling. Number one. For the prices, I think these prices, if you're a 50-year-old, in a certain market, are going to be high, and they're going to be high because you're going to be paying a good deal for a month. And you're on top of that, if you're in these lower-level policies, you're going to have a significant deductible. So if you're making $45,000 or $50,000 a year, and you come away with, 9% of your income to pay for a health insurance policy, which is very likely going to be what it means if you're 45 or 50, that's going to be pretty difficult. And in the individual market, there's no question it's very difficult now today. But this is just not a panacea. We have three big health players that dominate, over 80% of the market in California: Kaiser, Blue Cross, and Blue Shield, the main players here. And in most regional markets, you talk about 13 health plans, but in a regional market, you're going to have two or three choices. Kaiser's not even in every market. You'll probably have a Blue Cross, Blue Shield choice. The other health plans are smaller players, but Aetna, Cigna, and United Healthcare chose to stay out. Those are sort of the next level of plans. And unfortunately, they're out for 2 years, even though that was a legal requirement meant to prevent plans from jumping in and out of the exchange. It means you're going to have these three dominant players for 2 years. And when they submit rates again and when they finalize these rates, that's who you're dealing with. And in the individual market, when you deal with those players, they certainly can deny you for pre-existing conditions today. That will change, and that's a great thing to change under federal health reform. And the premiums for individuals are really, really high today. So maybe in the exchange, for many people, it'll be a better deal. But it still is going to be an excessive rate in many cases, because there is no power with state regulators to reject an unreasonable rate.
And
this is all in negotiation.
Yeah, let me hold you
and
there, because we'll come back yeah. to that point. But let me now, I wanted to sort of set the table with all of the various pros and possible concerns, and now turn to Peter Lee to get your sense of the significance of what was accomplished yesterday, but also to begin to respond to these worries that even though this looks good largely, that as Jamie Court was suggesting, it still may be a pretty pricey venture for particularly people who are not young.
Yeah, well, thanks very much, Dave, for having us here. Yesterday was a very big day. There's been a lot of people that have been sort of doomsayers that, number one, health plans wouldn't want to compete, and number two, we would not be able to get affordable prices. And we proved both of those wrong. First, in terms of the 13 health plans, if you look across the state where most people live, 99.5% of Californians are going to have the choice of more than three plans. Well, that's huge. There are absolutely some small rural areas that have limited choice, which is the same case today. But you go to San Francisco, five health plans to choose between. L.A., six health plans to choose between. San Diego, six health plans. And quite honestly, these health plans that aren't in the market, it's not the law they can't come in. We said, as a matter of policy, at Covered California, we want partners that are going to be part of offering health care to millions. You are ready to play? We don't want you. And we actually turned some plans down. And when you think about creating a competitive marketplace,
it doesn't really help consumers to have 12 plants, have 16 plants. It's to have enough choice that really are about the choice of doctors and hospitals and who provides care.
Who did you turn down, Peter Lee?
We actually aren't disclosing who we turned down as part of the competitive bidding process. Who we don't take to the prom is something we keep private, so when we go back public again, we can do that. And we do that with all of our contracting. But
And tell me what the question marks are for you at this point. We know you've published what you think the prices will be, but that depends right on whether or not providers, doctors, clinics, hospitals, will all engage with you too. What are the question marks for you?
Well, it's actually the rates that we've looked at, and I think that it's important, as Jamie noted, these rates are now submitted to the regulators for review, but we had actuaries reviewing the rates ahead of time. We sat down with the plans and looked at what are the doctors in their networks, what are the medical groups, what are the hospitals, and every one of the plans that we've selected have good networks of doctors, hospitals, some of the premier academic medical centers, research institutions, community clinics. They're really good networks. We were worried about that in terms of what people would bring to the table. We're not worried anymore.
Yeah.
The big worry is one of the things that both Glenn and Jamie identified is that healthcare is expensive. Healthcare is expensive because medical costs are expensive. And that's the key thing, is that we need to be part of bringing down healthcare costs. And those costs are what we're seeing the health plans that came to the table with us to say they're going to work with their doctors and hospitals to lower costs over the long term.
And the key, Lisa Alaferez, to holding down costs, at least in part, is getting everyone to participate. The theory behind all of this is that health care costs go down if everyone buys in, that if you have healthy people participating as well as people who are older and have health care worries. So one of the key questions next, right, is getting people to sign up who are not currently insured, young, healthy people.
Just to clarify one point, there's a difference between health insurance cost and health care costs. So, yes, the key to keeping health insurance rates lower is to get as many people in the pool as possible, including healthy people, as you say.
And what's going to be the – how is that going to work? How is the effort going to go forward so that a younger person says, oh, this looks like a good deal for me?
So, well, Covered California has already announced partnerships statewide. This was about a week or 10 days ago. They've released grants to many local groups to do pretty significant education and outreach campaigns. And in addition, I believe Covered California is launching a huge advertising push this summer to get people informed. It's a big push. There's people who already know about health insurance and want it, and there's people who've never had it and are going to be find this to be a tough sell. Why do I need this thing I've never had, never heard of, especially in limited English speaking ethnic groups? This could be there's going to be an education process needed.
Make the case, Peter Lee, for a young person. We had a report on yesterday on our news. Mina Kim of our health team here reported a story that involved her brother, who did not have health insurance, a young man in his 20s. And to make the case to those sorts of individuals, you might say, well, this is only going to cost you a couple hundred bucks a month. But for someone who doesn't have a couple hundred bucks a month and wants to sort of roll the dice, how do you jump that argument?
Well, a couple ways. First is, for that 25-year-old that doesn't have a couple hundred a month, it's because they don't make a lot of money. That means he or she is going to get a federal subsidy. So if they make 150% of poverty, which means about $25,000 a year in San Francisco, they could actually get a health plan for $60 a month, or even, and it's based on their income and what plan they want to choose, they could actually get free coverage. They could get the Chinese Community Health Plan for zero premium because of the federal subsidy. But let's say that 25-year-old makes, you know, $40,000, which means they aren't eligible for a subsidy. Well, $200, they can get coverage that would mean they would have lifetime assurance that if something really bad happens, they go to a hospital, have a $150,000 medical bill, $6,000, the most they'd ever have to pay, out of pocket. And we have standard benefits, that there's no more of the gimmicks and gotchas of having insurance but not really having coverage. Mm-hmm. And that changes with the Affordable Care Act. So, I mean, I'd make the case, and we've actually talked to thousands of Californians, you know, they want health insurance. They want insurance they can rely on. And what we're doing is, even for that 25-year-old, for lower income, here's big subsidies. For folks that make more money, well, $200 a month. You know, that's less than a latte a day to get coverage. And that's for someone, again, that makes $50,000. that isn't getting a subsidy, and these people want coverage.
And
so
how
actually,
many,
we're very confident.
How many do you have to – do you have a goal? I mean, how many tens of thousands of people do you have to get to sign up for this all to work?
Well, it's interesting. One of the big questions going into this was, were health plans going to assume only the sick people will sign up or going to get the young healthies and older healthies? They assumed, which we assume, that we're going to get over 1.5 million people in the first year. Okay. Now, we will have about 5 million Californians who can enroll in Covered California, but it's really important to understand that the prices and the products that are available through Covered California will be available in the individual market outside of our exchange. We are benefiting all Californians. So in many ways, what we're doing is we have the back of all California consumers. We're at the table pounding the health plans in a healthy way, holding their feet to the fire, and negotiating on behalf of all Californians. People don't need to come to Covered California if they don't aren't eligible for a subsidy. But they know that we've negotiated the best price possible with good networks, and they can get the same product at the same price in the individual market. So it's a we're excited about what this means for Californians.
Peter Lee, Executive Director of Covered California, joining us along with the rest of our guests as we take apart now what the real details are of the Affordable Care Act and what they mean for Californians. We want you to join our conversation as well. You can do so by calling us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum, kqed.org, or you can post your thoughts on our Facebook page or on our website as well. Glenn Melnick, does that sound like a feasible goal to you, signing up 1.5 million Californians?
Well, it's a real time experiment. You're talking about developing a market, almost from scratch, because you're going to be trying to get the attention and participation of folks largely who've not participated in this market, don't know about it, don't know how it works. Now, there are incentives because there's a federal law that's going to say you have to have insurance or you'll pay a penalty. So for many Californians who don't have insurance, they're working already in companies, and so some of those companies will face penalties. So that will move some people into the exchange. Then for individuals, there's a penalty of $95 a year. I think for a lot of people, my guess is that for a lot of them, just the time and cost of figuring out what to do will be a stumbling block. And so I think a lot will pay $95 the first year if they pay anything.
Let's underline that for a moment, because I had neglected to mention that. So as of January 1, Glenn Melnick, that's when the fine, tax, call it what you will, goes into effect. And you essentially can make a choice. I'm going to pay this $100 fine, or I can sign up for health insurance.
Peter Lee, that the penalty is a little bit worse than that. It's a penalty. It's 1% or $95, whichever is greater in the first year, and it grows to 2.5% of your income.
So if you make $30,000,
it means you're going to have a penalty of $300. So you have a new calculus. Is I can be paying the IRS every month $30 in a penalty, or I can get money from the IRS to help me buy an affordable health plan. Californians aren't dumb. They're going to do the math and say, I'd much rather have coverage. And so I do agree with Lisa that we have a big lift to educate Californians, and we're going to be out there in the media with community groups, with faith-based groups. We're going to be with groups that speak in Spanish and Hmong and Mandarin. There's a lot to communicate. But Californians that don't have insurance, many have had insurance before. They know what insurance is. They want insurance. They're hungry for this information. They're hungry for coverage.
Let's get our listeners engaged in our conversation as we proceed. Lots of questions coming in already. Let's go first to Maureen in Oakland. Maureen, go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning. I'm trying to understand. There was a study that came out from Milliman, I think last month, that got a lot of press saying that, oh my goodness, the sky is falling. There's going to be huge increases under Covered California / Affordable Care Act. I'm trying to understand how those predictions that Milliman issued last month line up with what we actually saw in Covered California yesterday in terms of the rates that were announced. And if that study was off, does anybody know why?
Maureen, thank you. Lisa, can you
take that?
Yeah.
I'll get you in just a second, Jamie. Lisa, go ahead.
That study was an estimate of what would happen to the premiums. And so in a sense, that particular analysis which, by the way, found that rates would go up for some but down for other people. That particular analysis is now moot because we have, at least by my read, others may disagree, but that's moot because we have real rates in front of us. And I will add one other thing is that Covered California said that the it's hard to compare apples to apples because we do not have this market in place now. But the comparison that Covered California drew yesterday was to the current small business plan. And the rates, the average rates will range from 2% above that plan to 29% below. So many people will pay lower rates.
And Jamie Cork, go ahead. I know this is at the heart of your concerns.
This is my concern. When people have to find rates who don't have subsidies, it's a huge problem. But look, the exchange itself put out that study and commissioned it. Peter Lee, Covered California, a week before the bidding process to drive up expectations that premiums would go up by 30%. And then when they come in with Blue Shield saying yesterday, oh, premiums are only going to go up 13% at a press conference, it seems it goes against expectations. And this is part of the problem with health insurance. I mean, we regulated the auto and property casualty insurance 25 years ago. There is no panacea here. I am totally in support of getting young people, people with subsidies, people who can afford these plans, into these plans. But what was done with that Milliman report was a way of driving expectations that there would be huge increases up, letting the plans submit plans that actually were going to come in under this ridiculous, outrageous 30% rate hike. And then today we can say, wow, it's not as bad as things are. And that is my concern about this whole enterprise. There are going to be people, when we look at these rates next week, who are going to be paying an unbelievable amount for health insurance in or out of the exchange. And we have to take care of those people. But to say that, you know, the average premium is going to be $300 a month and not to look at what the deductible cost is for that premium for these people and the total out-of-pocket cost and see whether it's really affordable, we can't say that until we actually look at the premiums next week. And I think Peter really needs to answer, why did they put that study out?
Well, let's let him do just that. And we will, by the way, get into all of the minutiae of what the deductibles involve and what the various standards of plans offer. And we'll get to that right after our break, which is coming up in just a minute. But briefly, go ahead, Peter Lee, and respond to the concerns that you sort of set this up so that our expectations would not be so great.
Yeah, that was kind of silly, Jamie, if I may, is first, for the last year and a half, we've had actuaries and plans saying rates were going to go up 100%, 80%, 60%. Covered California commissioned Milliman because we wanted to make sure the health plans did not run around like the sky is falling, thinking that we were not going to get a good mix of risk in. And that study had best estimates, low estimates, and high estimates. And what we saw is that the health plans that we wanted to come in with what I call Goldilocks rates, if they come in with rates are too low, that means there isn't enough money to pay for care. There won't be enough doctors. There won't be enough hospitals. If they come in with rates that are too high, it means we can't have affordability. We really want Goldilocks pricing, which is rates that are enough to cover the cost of care. And that's what health insurance premiums are about, covering health care. And I think that that's what we wanted to make sure there was enough money on the table to do. We commissioned the Milliman study to make sure that we had a benchmark. So when the plans came in with their rates, they were doing it based on the evidence of what care was going to cost. And that's where we were able to push the plans to do the right thing, which is to come in with rates that weren't showing 50% increases, 80% increases, rather that are going to be affordable, but still for many Californians a struggle because health care costs are so expensive.
And we'll hold you there as we go to our break. When we come back, we'll start asking and trying to answer all of your questions. Questions like Karen's that's coming up. Why doesn't state cap the rates for plans? Bob, who's concerned about whether or not the uninsured will have rates that are sufficient. He's frightened about what those rates may be. Corlin asks this question. Can I drop my employer's insurance, which I can't really afford, and get some of these new plans? We'll try to get to all of those questions and more when we return. Here's the number if you want to join us. 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org or post your thoughts or concerns on our website. This is Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour, the new health insurance plans that were put out yesterday by Covered California. That's the new healthcare exchange, the marketplace that will be offering healthcare plans to Californians under the Affordable Care Act. We're talking this hour about what those plans offer, what they mean for Californians, and we want to respond to as many of your questions as we can. You can join us at 866-733-6786 or email us or post your thoughts on our Facebook page or on our website as well. Let's begin with some of your more specific questions. Corlin asked this question. Peter Lee, why don't you take this? Corlin asked, can I drop my employer insurance, which I can't really afford, and get the newly offered insurances from the health insurance exchange?
It's a really good question. And there's I hate to say, an it depends answer, which is the Affordable Care Act defines what's called affordable coverage if you have employer-based care. And it's based on how much of your income you have to pay for that coverage and if that coverage is real coverage. If you have to spend more than 9.5% of your income to cover, to pay for your coverage as an employer, that's not affordable. Then you can come to us and you can get a subsidy, you can get health care through us. If your health care coverage through your employer is affordable to you, you need to take that. We cannot offer you a subsidy at Covered California. Now, if you don't want a subsidy, come on down anytime. You can get coverage through Covered California and pass on your employer-based coverage. But, you know, we want employers to stay in the game. Both small and large employers are the backbone of healthcare coverage in America. They need to be engaged as they have been. And we aren't trying to sort of take away folks from employer-based coverage. We're trying to make sure everyone gets good coverage.
And Glenn Melnick, that's a real concern, right, that employers may say, I'm going to get out of this business because now this new plan, this new federally sponsored state exchange is in play. So how much of a concern is that?
Well, it's certainly a theoretical concern. And, you know, the employers will be, you know, running the calculations as this thing unrolls. So, you know, if you have a workforce that's you know, relatively low wages and you're offering them benefits already, then even though there's penalties, there are going to be calculations that lead you to a rational decision that says, I can discontinue benefits, pay my workers a little bit more for them to buy through the exchange, and everybody in my company is better off.
And Glenn, I mean, can I just jump in for 1 minute? I want to be clear.
Peter,
there are no penalties for small businesses at all. If you have a business of less than 50 employees, whether or not you offer coverage, there's no penalties. The penalties are potentially there for larger businesses. And as Dave, as you spelled out, there are penalties, again, for individuals that don't take up affordable coverage. But for small businesses, we'll be announcing in a couple weeks health plans for small employers, which if they buy through Covered California, will actually be able to access tax credits for those that have low-income people, employees, to make that more affordable for small business. Yesterday's announcement was about individuals, but we look forward to helping small businesses do the right thing as well.
Here's a question from Liz, Lisa Alaferis, who asks, does the California system allow straightforward comparison of plans across features and versus providers and price? What was published yesterday had these various levels of care you can get. It's sort of like the Olympics. There's gold, silver, bronze.
And platinum.
And platinum. So I guess that goes beyond Olympics. But does it give you – can you make that sort of, I am this person. I live in this place. Here's what's available to me. Here's what I can afford. Does it give you that sort of grid of choices?
Yes. That well, not just yet. People can't go online and look up their specific situation just yet. That will come later in the year. But to just go through the platinum, gold, silver, bronze tiers is what you can do is if you want to have no deductible, you pay a higher monthly premium, and then you have no deductible at all. The subsidies are pegged to the so-called silver tier, which has a higher deductible. It's $2,000, so it's not insubstantial by any means.
So let's go through this. If I elect for a silver plan, I need to know going in that I'm still going to have to cover at least $2,000 worth of my health care costs.
With some exceptions, because some preventive care and some doctor's office visits are covered immediately.
Preventive care meaning what kind of things?
Some cancer screenings are covered. It's preventive care like cancer screenings. I'm presuming well baby care, but I don't want to get too much into the weeds here. And then you get one annual visit with the doctor with a no copay. So you get some benefits. The goal is wellness, I would say, and different people may disagree whether this much coverage that is included is actually targeted toward wellness. But I talked to somebody yesterday who's a man in his early 50s who has diabetes, and he's currently paying substantial amounts out of pocket. And when he actually walked through and looked at that he could have this platinum or gold plan with no deductible and was trying to weigh, trying to guess at what his price would be based on the limited amount released yesterday, he was positive that it was going to lower his personal cost.
Let's hear next from Eric in Los Altos, who wants to talk about what his situation is. Eric, go ahead.
Hi. I have private health insurance. I work for a large national company that forced us into high deductible, high co-insurance. I am a very healthy person, and so is my family, and I'm not sure what the yearly premium is, but I think it's around $12,000 a year. But my comment to the panel pertains to healthcare cost. In April, I had an idiopathic seizure. I was alone at home with my boys. My wife sat down. It led to emergency care, and my share of that incident is approximately $9,000. So I have insurance. But my out-of-pocket cost between my high deductible and my 35% co-insurance for contracted rates was $8,000 or $9,000. We don't even know what the total exposure is yet. And I'm interested in the panel's thoughts about the cost of healthcare.
Eric, thanks. Thanks for laying that out for us and the kind of situation that you're facing. And, of course, best of luck as you contend with that in the future. Jamie Court, you want to take a swing at that?
Well, this is one of the great things about the Affordable Care Act. It gives him a limit. If he's in one of the plans covered under the Affordable Care Act, because if you're in a large employer plan, I don't know how big his employer is, you won't get this protection. But if you are in a plan covered by the Affordable Care Act, meaning small employers, the exchange, there's a cap on out-of-pocket costs. This is something we fought hard for years, and it's one of the best things. He's not going to be paying more than, I think it's $7,500 maybe, or $7,000 out of his own pocket if he plays by the rules, no matter what happens to him, no matter how much he racks up in bills. And that's a huge benefit for every plan under the Affordable Care Act. It's a very big deal.
But in Eric's situation, and anyone respond here, Peter Leaf, feel free to jump in too. And Eric, if you want to offer any more specificity, it's not clear to me whether Eric would qualify, right?
Or it depends how big his employer is.
Jamie's spot on that large employers have to offer robust coverage, and not by the same rules. And the rules under Covered California for individual market and small employer market, and Jamie's spot on. The limit of $6,350 is the maximum out-of-pocket. That's still a lot of money. I want to be clear, it's a lot of money. But what happened to Eric would not happen. And what it would mean is if you have a $300,000 hospital bill, $6,350 is the maximum you'd have to spend out of pocket.
So, Eric, sorry to use you as such a case study here, but it sounds like you were someone, if that idiopathic seizure that you had taken place 5 months from now or whatever they got, what is it, after January 1st, you would have been better off. Is that right? Is this a good example of what sort of this new reality will mean, Peter Lee?
I don't think so, because this year our family out-of-pocket maximum is $16,000, so we're nowhere near the out-of-pocket max this year.
Yeah.
And I believe that next year my private plan we're getting will be about the same.
But Peter Lee answered.
If
what
it's 16,000, I think he might be in a large. Do you have a large employer, Eric? How big is your company?
40,000 employees worldwide.
Yeah. So unfortunately, it may be beyond the reach of state law and Affordable Care Act protections. If you have self-funded plans, these rules unfortunately largely do not apply to Eric.
Okay, I do need to move us beyond Eric's circumstance, but just I do want to maybe be clear about this, because I think lots of people are wondering, well, if I'm not part of the exchange and I'm in Eric's situation, then how does this any of this affect me? Peter Lee, just clarify for this, if you would, if you're in a situation like this, but you still are covered by a big employer, you're not part of your exchange, what applies to you and what doesn't?
Yeah, a couple things. For the vast majority of Americans that have their coverage through their large employer or their small employer, their coverage rules won't change. And that's one of the things that's been sort of misleading. People think that the world's going to turn upside down for everyone. It won't. Health care is expensive. And I think one of the things we see in Eric's circumstance is that, you know, the cost of the insurance his large employer pays is because health care costs a lot. And he's spending a lot out of pocket, a lot of insurance premiums. One of the things that we need to do, and this is so important, is that healthcare costs in America cost double what they are in the rest of the developed world. if we don't lower health care costs, and this is, and I know Jamie's focuses a lot on rates, which are really important, but the underlying issue is what do doctors cost? What does it cost to be in the hospital? What does it cost for drugs? If we don't lower those costs over time, that's going to break the bank of Medicare. It's going to break the bank of individual families, et cetera. And so Cover California actually required the plans that are contracting with us to work to say, let's provide better prevention. Let's coordinate care so sick people don't go to the hospital. If we don't do that as a state and a nation, we aren't going to address health care costs in the way that really matter.
Peter, thank you.
The thing that's in, Dan, is that medical inflation's gone up about 29% over the last decade, and health insurance premiums have gone up 153%. And so there is a very – I agree we need to keep medical costs under control, but there's a big difference in terms of how much premiums have gone up in California because we have an unregulated state, and I think we have to deal with both costs.
Let me get to our next question. Amelia posts this on our Facebook page. What, if anything, changes for students who do not want to buy into the school's health plan? I have my own plan, which is less expensive than my school plan. Are students eligible for subsidies? Peter Lee?
Yeah, students would absolutely be eligible for subsidies. And the issue there would apply of do they have affordable care offered? In many cases, the student health programs wouldn't qualify as that, which means they would absolutely be eligible for subsidies or potentially eligible to enroll in Medi-Cal. And Lisa noted earlier that we announced some grants last week, to community groups. Those included grants to a number of groups to work with students. We want to reach out to folks in Cal State and city colleges and trade schools because there are about 600,000 uninsured students who are adults who need insurance. We think they need insurance, and we're going to be available to provide it in a way that's affordable.
Peter in Berkeley has our next question. Peter, go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Thanks. Great program. I have a couple questions, if I may. The first one, I think, is an easy one. I'm a provider for some of these companies, these insurance plans. Will providers be affected by these changes? And then my macro question is more about the healthcare issue. You know, there's been a lot of coverage recently about the gross inequities around the country, especially around how hospitals are billing for their charges and so forth. Is there anything being done through these changes to address those issues?
Let's start with the micro first. Peter Lee, how will this doctor be affected by what was announced yesterday?
Great. Well, I'd say two potential ways is many of the health plans specifically reached out to doctors, medical groups to say, look, we have an opportunity to make history. What will you do to lower your costs? Which is tough because doctors are struggling, believe it or not. Hospitals are struggling, but many stepped forward and said, we're going to lower our rates to make history. Second, though, right now, doctors are wrestling with a barrage of confusing information with hundreds of different benefit designs. So when someone comes in, they say, well, I'm not quite sure if this is covered. Are you on health plan's Blue 6 design? People don't know what that is. Now, instead, because we have standard benefit designs, doctors are going to say, oh, I know what, that's covered. That's a covered benefit.
Yeah.
We want to make life simpler for doctors. So I think those are two ways that doctors will be directly affected.
And Peter, as in our doctor calling us from Berkeley, repeat the second part of your question, if you would, please.
Oh, about the larger healthcare mess in this country. You know, there was a special issue of Time magazine about a couple months ago about this issue. It was enough to make everybody that I talked to's blood boil. You know, the gross inequities in hospital charges especially.
Glenn Belnick, let me bring you back into our conversation. Does this in any way address some of those inequities? At one level, it would seem that it would because of the subsidies that are available for low-income participants in particular.
Well, it does address it at that level, but the issue, this is the fundamental issue that will be the challenge going forward, which is that it's the underlying cost. I have to disagree with Jamie's comment before. It's underlying medical costs that drive insurance premiums. And underlying medical costs continue to go up much faster than inflation year after year for the last
Underlying 30. Medical costs meaning?
Meaning what we have to pay hospitals and doctors to care for patients. And largely it's due to price increases by providers. And so what we've seen over time is our markets have become less competitive. And hospitals and doctors are more able to dictate the prices to insurance companies. And the insurance companies, if they want those hospitals and doctors in their networks, have to pay these higher prices.
So it sounds like you're pointing the finger more at providers than at insurance companies in terms of where the real nut of the problem lies, yeah?
From a structural perspective, there's no doubt.
Okay. Karen,
if I could jump in for 1 second.
Hang on.
Dave?
Sorry, who was trying to get in there?
Peter Lee,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think that Dr. Peter's point is really important about the issues of hospital charges being all over the map. And one of the things we had for Covered California, we said, if you as a health plan want to play in our marketplace, you need to be making information transparent to your enrollees, to those consumers, about what does hospital X cost versus hospital Y. We want to put the spotlight on that cost information so consumers can make real choices. And the biggest choices, and I say this with all due respect for our creating an insurance marketplace, but are not choices of health plan. The biggest choices of who am I going to get to operate on my hip? What are the doctors I'm going to see on an ongoing basis for my diabetes? And at Covered California, we want to provide the information and tools so people can make the best choices, not just of health plan, which we'll be doing out of the gate, but to help them understand their medical.
Hang on, if you would. I want to get to one more question. I know you're eager to get in, Jamie, but this next question is right in your wheelhouse. Karen, go ahead, please. Karen, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks very much for covering this topic this morning. It's a really important one, and I was looking forward to hearing all your opinions. One of the concerns I have, and I have a Blue Cross individual plan, which I also support a young adult daughter who has a chronic illness, and our premiums have gone up 40% in the past year, and the year before it was about 20%. And a lot of states outside of California, legislatures allow their legislatures to cap insurance premiums. California does not. And I've had a lot of conversations with Commissioner Jones' office about this. And I really don't understand why the state of California legislature will not address this.
Yeah. Karen, Jamie Cork, go ahead.
Well, I mean, we've been trying for 10 years to get legislation through the legislature to regulate health insurance rates, and the legislature is controlled largely by the insurance industry. They've said no. So we submitted 800,000 signatures for a ballot measure that's qualified for the next ballot so that the insurance commissioner gets to look at every rate that's submitted and determine whether it's justified and reject it if it's not justified. 35 other states require this. That's coming up on the next ballot. Unfortunately, the next ballot's not till 2014. But the good news is that it takes effect November 2012. It extends the regulation of auto and home insurance that we did 25 years ago through Prop 103 to health insurance. And if you look at auto insurance in California, we're the only state over the last 15 years with a decrease. So 35 other states require health insurance companies to get approval before raising rates. California has not, but with Dianne Feinstein and Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones, we've put that initiative before voters. And I think one of the reasons you see insurance companies actually trying to figure out a way to do it through the free market and the exchange, and I'm happy about this, if the numbers show that they are going to be offering more affordable policies than they do now, is they don't want to deal with rate regulation, and they want to have an answer to it, and they want to have something to fight back with in that ballot measure. But I will tell you this. Health insurance premiums in California have gone up 153% since 2002. That is, I mean, the rate of medical inflation hasn't broken 50%. There is a very big disparity, and if you look at the profits that Anthem Blue Cross is making or even Blue Shield is making, that's the bottom line, and it's because we don't have exactly what you're saying, someone to look at the rates in government, and the exchange is a marketplace, and they've done their best to negotiate here. But that's different than rate regulation, when someone can say no if a health insurance company wants to raise rates. And there should be someone to say no. And the rates that will be subject to this apply in and outside the exchange.
Karen, thanks so much for the call. We would be remiss if we didn't mention some of the other things, Lisa Alaferes, that will be going into effect come January 1. We focused on the health exchange and all the programs and possibilities and policies that are out there and their costs. But this is also where another big-ticket item goes into place, right, in terms of people with pre-existing conditions will no longer be denied or they will have full access to all possibilities?
That's correct. It's starting on January 1st in California that any plans in Covered California, insurers may set rates by three factors only. That's your age, where you live, and your family size. And the age can only be a 3-to-1 comparison. So someone who is the oldest in the exchange can only be charged triple what someone in their 20s would be charged. And insurance companies have wanted 5-to-1, but it ended up at 3-to-1.
And Peter Lee, again, just to make sure we're clear about what you have purview over and what you don't, does this apply in terms of both costs, the three factors that Lisa just mentioned, age and zip code and family size, and the question of pre-existing condition? Is that true now for everyone, regardless of whether or not they participate in your exchange?
Absolutely. And that's one of the really big news is that these are new protections for all Californians. And it means that they buy through the exchange. It's the only place to get the federal subsidies for people that are lower income. But I want to be clear, lower income might mean a family of four that makes up to $80,000 or more. So it's really trying to give all Californians the same financial leg up that people that work for large businesses get. But it's going to benefit them whether they're in the individual market writ large or in covered California. The other thing I want to say, Dave, if I could, is Lisa noted we're going to be going out with marketing in a big way this summer. But people can find out a lot today. We now have the specific plans, the prices, information they can start getting ready, and that's at coveredca.com. And if people want to put their name, we'll keep them updated. But there's a calculator there to figure out if they're eligible for a subsidy. There's tools because, in the end, this is going to work because Californians get informed. And it's a confusing set of issues, but we know that people want to be informed.
And with that, we must pause for a moment. You are listening to Forum. This is, as you know, a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, you can go to kqed.org. I'm Dave Iverson. And let's take another question. David joins us next. Go ahead, David.
Yes. I wanted to talk about the fact that we do need more government in this medical care issue for one reason. This business of medicine is a money or your life business. It does not function according to the rules of capitalism. If you go to a Cadillac dealership, you won't die if you don't buy a car. The government has to control this, and the one measure that people can use to understand why this is true is to track profit for all medical care companies, Big Pharma, the insurance company. We talked about Blue Cross. We just experienced a huge recession during which all of those companies, all of those business groups, ascended in their profits to record-breaking levels.
And David, we'll let your comment stand. Thank you for contributing that. Let's see if we can get some additional questions as well. Ellen joins us next in Auburn. Ellen, go ahead. Ellen, are you there? Ellen? Okay, we'll go on to another question in just a moment while we get our phone lines lined up. Facebook question here from Paul: how will public hospitals be affected? Peter Lee, you want to respond to that? Is there any difference between whether or not it's a public or a private hospital?
Actually, we're really committed through Covered California to make sure that public hospitals, community clinics, are part of the networks. 80% of California's hospitals will be in different networks that are going to be part of Cover California. They're vital, and we will continue to have people who are uninsured. So the role of what we call the safety net will continue to be important for many Californians. And so that's why we wanted to make sure that the plans we selected, we're actually contracting with them.
So now I'll ask this question on our Facebook page, Lisa Alaferes. Are there family plans? We have two children, and my husband's plan only offers one insurance provider as a choice. So, again, I know this depends on whether or not the large employer, how much money, so forth and so on. But are there different plans within that sort of tiering of gold, silver, and bronze that make a difference based on your family size?
So Covered California did not, as near as I could tell, release to us yesterday any sample of family plan rates. But yes, I think Peter Lee will be able to speak a little more to this, but yes, on Covered California, there will be a range of plans that will range, then people can pick between plans and they can pick at these different metal tier levels from platinum, gold, silver, bronze.
Peter Lee?
Spot on right, is that we released sort of a snapshot of some of the rates, but this July and then coming out will be much more detailed. And the three things that will affect your rates, I want to repeat what Lisa said, it's your age, your family size, and so you can get a family plan for, you know, a couple with two kids, with three kids, with five kids, and where you live. And I think it's interesting, if you go to coveredca.com, you'll see that, boy, the rates are 40% less in L.A. than San Francisco. Well, you can't. You could decide to move to L.A. to get cheaper rates, but then you have to live in L.A., which that's a separate challenge.
We just have a moment or two left, and so many questions, and I'm sorry we could not get to more of our listener email, Facebook postings, and calls as well. But I want to give each of you just a chance to give a last quick thought. Glenn Melnick, start us out briefly on what's been accomplished and what still has to be done.
Well, I think it's an amazing start. Peter, as I said earlier, Peter and his team pulled off, what a lot of people didn't think was going to be possible, which is to get it all together. There was a tremendous amount of uncertainty because this is a national experiment unfolding in real time. I think from an economic perspective, there are a couple of big issues that people worry about in the long run. And one is the underlying costs of our health care, which then get passed through to insurance premiums. And so as we bring more people into the system, which is good, there'll be an increase in demand for services. And the question is, will prices also increase? When you have a spike in demand and supply doesn't respond as quickly, you could see price increases that could filter through the system and then lead to higher insurance premiums 2 years, 3 years from now.
We're going to have to leave that as our basic overall concluding thought. But Jamie Cord, I'm going to give you 10 seconds.
I think this is a big development, but it really isn't a panacea. And we talk about Goldilocks rates and home runs. We got to look at these numbers and make sure they're affordable for people. And there is no substitute for both a free market and government oversight of health care costs and health insurance costs, which is what we're doing with Justify Rates Initiative at justifyrates.org. So I'm hoping it all works to move things forward.
And Peter Lee, 5 seconds.
CoveredCA.com. Cover California is a tool for consumers. Learn more.
And Lisa Alaferis, no time for you. Sorry, we'll have to leave it there. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson. Thanks for being with us.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.